Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Lara and WNYC with you today from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC, and a live audience, guests from six counties and five countries who we will be speaking with this hour. As usual, when we're in the green space, you can watch this show on streaming video on our website or on the special green space website. Go to WNYC.org to watch this program live, or go to thegreenspace.org to watch this program live. And we have a very special group of guests this hour because as part of our coverage of the economy, WNYC has designated six of our news reporters and producers to get to know people in six different main streets in our area to get some common economic indicators and some uncommon economic indicators and really report on the economy on the ground. And we're going to get a Main Streets Project update right now with Richard Yeh covering Main Street Flushing. Who's there? Lisa Chow covering Smith Street in Borum Hill. Elsa Chang covering 161st Street in the Bronx, Bridget Bergen covering the Bowery in Manhattan, and Jenna Flanagan covering Grove Street in Jersey City, plus our Main Streets editor, Karen Froman. Please welcome them all. Now, Control Room, I'm going to want to play the montage of recent Main Streets reports. Beginning with WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez covering Staten Island, so get that one ready. We also have some members of those Main Street communities in our green space audience, so identify yourselves if you're here. Lexi Funk, CEO of Brooklyn Industries. Is Lexi here? Hi, Lexi. Lexi's been on before. Doris Deither, who helped create the Bowery rezoning plan. There's Dorothy right down here. Jim Holliber, manager of the Green Depot on the Bowery. Hey, Jim. Eric Silverman, developer from Jersey City. Is Eric here? Hi. Thanks so much for coming across the river. And Peter Katsidis, manager of the Crown Donut Diner. Right there. Where is the Crown Donut Diner? 161st Street. All right, now let's hear a little bit of that montage for people who haven't heard this series of recent Main Streets reports, beginning with WNYC's Cindy Rodriguez, who could not join us today, covering Staten Island.
Harry Demner owns the hardware store next door and says he hasn't resorted to layoffs or bank loans.
Not yet, but dipping into my back funds, let's say.
This charmingly cluttered store has been in the family 80 years, and Demner says he's seen many highs and lows.
This is, it seems to me, the worst that I've seen.
Every economics is inside Flushing. For example, myself, I live in Flushing downtown. My business is Flushing. I eat in Chinese restaurant in Flushing. Everything is in Flushing.
The self-sustaining nature of its economy doesn't make Flushing totally recession-proof. But the continued influx of new immigrants does make its small businesses more resistant to a downturn.
Yeah! Teixeira! Teixeira, baby!
You walk around and it's like you're not even in the game. You walk around like it's like you're in a mall. You have a whole bunch of stuff to do. You could buy food, you could buy like merchandise, whatever. It's like this takes you away from reality. That's a good thing. I mean, we don't have that in the Bronx over here. We don't have like a big mall to walk around, so this is our mall right now.
But that's the problem. Businesses just a couple blocks down 161st Street didn't think they'd be competing against a new mega mall.
All right, clips from the Main Street Project at all those different locations, or several of those different locations, as reported by our WNYC News Main Streets team. Editor Karen Froman, what's the point of all this?
When the economy really began to change, that we needed to get a handle on what was happening around the city. And we know that the city has a lot of different ecosystems. There, you know, that Different main streets have very different kinds of traffic, different kind of economic factors within them. And so we talked within the newsroom. We looked to the main streets that people lived near so that we could keep our eyes on them on a regular basis. One of the things that happens in journalism is reporters go in, they dip in once, you go to a story, you talk to people, you come back, we put it on the air, and we call that a report. And it is. But I wanted to look at this climate over the course of a year and really see how the economic situation was affecting our city. And so we chose six streets in the region, and we've been watching them. We tried to get back as often as possible. It's been a very busy news year, so some streets we visited four times, some streets three. But we began to see that each of these streets, the different factors really did have an impact and did have a different story to tell.
So, for example, Richard, we heard in that clip that there's a certain insularity about the economy in Flushing, which may be helping it a little bit. Can you expand on that?
I think beyond that, it is an insular community. Flushing has a infrastructure built in, the transportation hub that it serves. More than just the local Flushing community, it connects. It's just 40 minutes by subway from Times Square. It connects all the way out to the tip of Long Island by Long Island Railroad, and about two dozen bus lines run through it all. So I think Flushing really benefits from always having immigrant enclaves all around northeastern Queens to be using the transportation hub, the restaurants, the discount stores, the mega supermarkets, and so on.
And for those of you watching on our website and those of you here in the green space, you can see some video and some slides that we have up. Our producer, Jody Avergon, is actually using Google Maps to take a look at the moment, Main Street Flushing. And I know that place. That's where it merges with Casino Boulevard and going up toward Queens College. And we'll see some of the different main streets visually as we go. So listeners, if you want to log on and watch our live streaming video, you'll be able to see some of this at WNYC.org or thegreenspace.org. How's Flushing doing, as far as you could tell, Richard? How are they? How they do on Black Friday? Did you get a sense of that yet?
There is no such thing as a Black Friday for Flushing. There is seasonal holiday shopping. There are a lot of immigrants, as you can imagine, living in and around Flushing. And the local immigrants who live and work in New York very often send money and goods back home, over to Asia, over to other parts, to South America, to wherever they come from. And some store owners tell me that their hottest shopping season is actually before Mother's Day and before some major Chinese holidays like Mid-Autumn Festival. And some of the hottest items that they do sell for export are some American-made vitamins and even some American-made ginseng from Wisconsin.
So. Grown in China, exported to Wisconsin, bottled and sent back to... No. Elsa Chang, on the tape that we heard, that was so infuriating about the people of 161st Street not having a mall, and now they have a new Yankees mall to compete with. I guess that was referring to the stadium shops themselves, correct?
Right. You go into this gleaming white stadium, and it is like a big mega mall. I mean, it has like 125 concession stands, 56 souvenir shops, a half a dozen high-end bars and restaurants. It really is a shopping center. And when you walk up and down 161st Street, you see a very different scene. Most of these are mom-and-pop, family-owned businesses that have been in the families for, you know, two, three generations. A lot of them are immigrant-owned. It's a very different scene. When you go into Yankee Stadium, you see a lot of big brand names like Nathan's Hot Dogs, Carvel Ice Cream, Johnny Rockets, Hard Rock Cafe. So it is quite a contrast. When I visited the street a few times, most of the shop owners, these are bar owners, restaurant owners, souvenir shop owners on 161st Street, they all reported that business was down, as far down as 75% for Yankee Tavern, the legendary place for Mickey Mantle, Babe Ruth, Joe DiMaggio used to hang out. By the end of baseball season, by the end of the World Series, they were still about 20% down. And that goes for a lot of the businesses there. So it's weird. I mean, like, the Yankees couldn't have had a better baseball season. They won the World Series in their first season in the new Yankee Stadium. But all these businesses reported that they were down in business.
So they weren't down so much because of the recession. They were down because of the way the new Yankee Stadium was built and the competition was placed for those 50,000 people right inside when they purchased the tickets.
Right. I mean, they all conceded, yes, recession has a lot to do with this. But the new stadium also was a factor. One reason was the stadium changed foot traffic patterns. So there's a new Metro North station that was built right by the new stadium. It just plops people directly into the stadium. A lot of people who used to visit the old stadium used to park farther down 161st Street. Now there are new parking garages right next to the stadium, so these people don't have to walk up 161st Street to pass the bars and restaurants and souvenir shops on their way to games. And also there are 4,000 less seats in the new stadium. So you multiply that out over 82, 83 home games, that's a lot less foot traffic going up and down 161st Street.
Lisa Chow, you're covering Smith Street in Borham Hill and one particular block of Smith Street, right?
Well, actually, no, it's a few blocks starting from Smith and Atlantic down south.
And I think you've reported that this may be the most vulnerable of all the main streets that we're covering in the series to the economic downturn. Why would it be not necessarily?
Actually, I think in the course of the year that I reported it, I found that it wasn't very vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
I think it's, you know, initially we kind of saw it as a street that had gentrified very rapidly in the last 15 years. But I think a lot of people, store owners included, said, you know, this street has already come. It's here already. And so it wasn't on the cusp in the way that I think some other streets in New York are.
Gentrification was going full blast, full speed ahead there already. And so what are you seeing in terms of the effects of the recession?
Well, I mean, I've followed a few businesses. Lexi Funk is here from Brooklyn Industries to kind of talk a little bit about her business. But the ones that I focused on a restaurant, Saul Restaurant, and two retailers. One's a gift store, Exit 9, and Brooklyn Industries. And it's been interesting. I mean, surprisingly, two of the three have opened up new stores. So Brooklyn Industries just opened up a new store in Grand Central Station. And Saul Restaurant had been owning that one restaurant. He actually closed a coffee shop earlier this year, you know, in the winter, but decided to open up a new restaurant in Prospect Heights in October. So, you know, it's interesting to see some grow. And then the third one, actually, Exit 9, has a store in the East Village, and he says Smith Street has been relatively resilient, and they see sales continue to grow, but the East Village store is actually very vulnerable right now.
Lexi, you want to stand up or take the microphone and tell us what's happening? You mean you're the counter-cyclical store in New York City that's doing well in the recession?
Well, maybe it's because of WNYC that we're counter-cyclical. But, yeah, Smith Street, we just had a phenomenal weekend, particularly at Smith Street. It was actually our number one store on Saturday. And I don't know if it's because Smith Street has become cooler or because we put more energy into Smith Street, but we've had a very good third and fourth quarter so far, and it looks like Christmas shopping, holiday shopping at Smith Street is going very, very well. So it's positive. It's definitely positive.
And we're looking at your store right there, Brooklyn Industries. How long have you been at that location on Smith Street?
We have been there 4 years, and we've really seen the area change enormously, but Lisa's right in that it reached its peak in gentrification probably a year and a half ago. We haven't seen a lot more stores open, but we have seen our store build, particularly at the second half of the year. In the first half of the year, it was very down, and we were very, very concerned, but that was a trend we saw in all of our stores.
What's selling this weekend?
Coats. Down coats have been selling, and then also a cashmere sweater for men. The Wheeler Lux hoodie has also been selling. So I think people
A luxury hoodie.
A luxury hoodie, yes. Very popular. But no, we're seeing a big uptick in down coats, fortunately. So the cold weather is helping us out.
All right. We'll continue in a minute from the Green Space with members of the WNYC News Main Streets team and some of the people from the Main Streets that they're covering. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC from the Jerome L. Green Performance Space here at WNYC today with a live audience and guests from six counties and five countries. We will get to those from the five countries in a few minutes, but we continue with WNYC reporters and producers covering Main Streets around our area. Richard Yeh covering Main Street, Flushing. Lisa Chow covering Smith Street in Borum Hill. Elsa Chang covering 161st Street in the Bronx. Bridget Bergen covering the Bowery in Manhattan. And Jenna Flanagan covering Grove Street in Jersey City. Plus our Main Streets editor, Karen Frillman, and some of the people who they are actually covering in the audience. Let's listen to a montage of voices from the Main Street series collected by all these reporters from over the weekend on and after Black Friday.
One of our favorite restaurants closed down, so we felt like it's more important to support the independent people, especially this year, than it has been to go to the mall and maybe get something a little bit cheaper.
It's been okay. No real spectacular numbers. I think as we get closer to, you know, the holidays, we'll see a little bit more action. But I think the first week where everybody's really jumping to get the electronics and the big box stores discounts and, you know, other incentives that those kind of stores have. Unfortunately, a lot of people think that the small business owner doesn't have the means of giving good deals, because we do. We offer quite a bit.
I was pleasantly surprised, and when I spoke to other small business owners in the area, in retail specifically, they were surprised and happy.
I'm not feeling as optimistic as I was last time we spoke. I was expecting the trend to go up more, but in fact it has gone down a little bit for us. We're not quite on target with our numbers the way that we thought we would be.
So different results in different places, as you can hear. Jenna Flanagan, what's happening on Grove Street in Jersey City? How are things?
Things seem to be doing pretty well on Grove Street. It's a neighborhood in across the river in New Jersey, which seems sort of like a foreign land to people here. But basically, there's the PATH train.
The New York-centric view of the world on display.
The PATH train takes people directly across, and there's a PATH train stop right on Grove Street. So it's an easy transportation hub right there. And the neighborhood has seen, I guess you could say, a significant amount of gentrification over the past few years, but what seems to really have made the difference is that there's been a significant amount of development, and so you have a lot of newer people moving into this neighborhood that used to, for a very long time, have been a blue-collar neighborhood. You have a lot more yuppies or upwardly mobile people moving into the neighborhood in these high-rise towers, which literally just dumps them right out on Grove Street. So a lot of the store owners who have been there for a long time have said they've seen a significant increase in the street traffic that they have. And on top of that, you also have a lot more new business owners, some of whom who have opened in the past year during the recession, who felt incredibly comfortable in the idea of opening a new business given their current economic climate.
So Eric Silverman, developer from Jersey City, want to stand up and take a microphone. Can we get a microphone to Eric right here? Eric, what did you build that anybody might know?
The project on Grove Street is called the Majestic. It was an old theater that we renovated, and we built a new structure. And Jersey City, although it's not in New York, they do refer to it as the sixth borough. So... But our retailers have been doing very well. I think people want to buy local, and they want to buy from independent retailers. So I think they're making it through the recession. In fact, as Jenna pointed out, we're opening up new stores in some of our buildings, a high-end furniture store called Smith Chang, a wine spirit company called Madame Claude's, two people from France. An ex-Roquette opened a dance studio called Next Step Broadway. We've got a successful track record, and people seem a little bit optimistic if they're an independent.
That's great. What do you think is selling for this Christmas season? Do you have a handle on that?
Well, Jersey City has a Vespa shop called Vespa Jersey City, and those are selling pretty well. But we there's a shop called Tia's Place on Grove Street that also opened in Grand Central as your last guest. And they're selling a lot of clothing, home furnishings, and lifestyle products, and they all seem to be doing pretty well.
No cashmere hoodies.
No cashmere hoodies, but might be a higher-end market for us.
I guess. What do you see as the most debilitating effect of the recession for the Grove Street business community and in Jersey City in general?
Well, it's the general psychology of people not wanting to spend. So if they can get through that, and Americans and people from New York are pretty optimistic, so I think we're hopeful that they start spending again.
Optimism, psychology matters, and it sounds like you're seeing some green shoots with those stores opening.
Yes, that's true.
So, Jenna, want to throw a question at him?
I guess the thing that I would want to know the most is how much do you think the influx of people has had an impact? Jersey City seems to be one of the few places where you still see new buildings going up. There's new construction constantly. How much more of this do you think the city can tolerate?
Well, I think we can tolerate a lot. What we need are people and critical mass. So I think, we have a lot of developable sites, but it's controlled development. So we have historic districts, which are similar to Brooklyn, where you can only go so high. But I think we need people, and it creates safety on the streets, more cafes, more street-level activity. So I think we have a good 10 years more that we can keep developing and bring people into the city.
Bridget Bergen, what's happening on the Bowery?
Well, it feels perfect to follow up what Eric was just saying, because there's some tension on the Bowery between development that's going on, new buildings, new hotels, and then new businesses that are coming to the Bowery that are bringing more foot traffic, more people, and we have someone here from the Green Depot and someone here who's working on efforts to preserve some of the historical development that exists on the Bowery. So there's some interesting tension between businesses and residents.
And there's a building on the screen that maybe exemplifies old versus new, rich Bowery versus traditional poor Bowery. Those of you who can't see it, Bridget, maybe you want to describe that.
Well, this is a skyscraper that I believe is on the east side of the Bowery, across from Spring Street. I'm not sure of the exact address of this picture. But that falls into this band of land that is not protected by any zoning constraints. There was some rezoning that had happened to the East Village and the Lower East Side over the past year that was intended to sort of protect some of those areas from some of the upzoning that had been going on. The Bowery was not included in that zoning plan, and now what has happened is the west side of the Bowery is protected with two historic districts that Doris Deether, who's here with us, can talk about, but the east side of the Bowery is not. So what you see is this imbalance. You see buildings that go up several stories tall. The skyscraper, some people would point to something like the Cooper Square Hotel farther up on the Bowery, and then on the west side of the Bowery, you don't have quite the same problem. That doesn't mean there aren't buildings that are tall there, but it's not to the same extent.
So let me bring Doris Deether in on this point, since you helped to develop the Bowery rezoning plan. You mean the zoning line runs right down the middle of the street?
That's right. And I've been complaining about that for years, that the City Planning Commission rezones one side of the street and not the other side of the street when it's a main street, like West Broadway has the same problem.
So what does this do to the Bowery or to the people who live or work around the Bowery?
Well, on one side of the street, we have constraints on the buildings. We have certain buildings that are designated that can't be torn down, can only be renovated but can't be torn down. But on the east side of the Bowery, they can do anything they want, practically. There's no limits on the height of the buildings, and they can, tear down historic buildings that have, really come with the history of the area. They can tear them down and put up something that has no context with the area at all.
Is the neighborhood change on balance for you a good thing?
The change on the east side, I would not say was such a good thing. On the west side, we don't have the same problems. But on the east side, there's definite problems with these high-rise buildings with glass towers and things that have nothing to do with the area.
All right, let's get a word in from, and thank you, Doris. Jim Holliber, real briefly, manager at the Green Depot on the Bowery. Tell people what the Green Depot is. They know Home Depot, this depot, that depot. You go there for what?
This is Green Depot, and we are a one-stop shop for green and environmental building and living products. So what that means is we sell to contractors all kinds of building products that they might use to build a green building. But as well, we sell products that you can use in your home, your apartment, or in your office to make things just greener, healthier environment, and more energy efficient.
And how are you doing in the holiday season? Do people buy Green Depot gifts?
Yes, we have a whole gift program, Gift at Green, actually.
Like, what's a good gift item? Go ahead and plug away.
Soda machines. We have this really cool machine that you take water and put water in the machine. It makes it carbonated, and you add flavor to it. Why is it green? Well, you don't have to buy containers of Pepsi and Coke and Gatorade and so forth. These are all, you know, flavored. And we have a lot of different products. You know, it depends if you're interested in energy efficiency. In this recession, people are looking for solutions to create value, and they see great value in saving money, but they also see great value in purchasing products that are good for the indoor air quality because nobody wants to give up their health.
And people are buying.
People are buying.
Good. We've got about 2 minutes left. Karen Frillman, editor of the Main Streets Project. You want to wrap this up, or you want to do a speed interview with somebody, or you want to tie this together?
Well, I think that it's been very interesting to look at all these streets and see that Main Street Flushing, people are continuing to move in. So even though business is down, as Richard's reporting pointed out, the Manhattan Chinatown has lost some population, and the Flushing Chinatown, or that Main Street area, is doing well. And so even though, as we interviewed people, Staten Island is another place where, even though the general economy is down, there's a greater influx of immigrants there. And so the patch of Victory Boulevard that we saw, some of the Spanish-speaking stores were holding their own because more Mexican immigrants were moving in. And so it's allowing us to get a sense of the flow of the business cycle in the city. The Yankee Stadium story was a surprise. We interviewed people in March. There was a great sense of expectation that the stadium was going to make a difference. What we did was we confirmed, in fact, that these large stadium projects do not necessarily give stimulus to the regions that they're built in, which is not the public policy that's sometimes put out. And so it's useful to us to basically be on the ground and continue to hear from these small businesses, which employ almost 2 million people in this city. It's a very important sector. It's what makes New York, New York. So we will see what happens in the new year if we continue this project, but it's been a great series for our listeners.
WNYC News getting all over the New York metro area with these reporters and producers and others, and no better example in recent months than our Main Streets Project. Please thank Richard Yeh, Lisa Chow, Elsa Chang, Bridget Bergen, Jenna Flanagan, Karen Frillman, plus Lexi Funk, Doris Deether, Jim Hollander, Eric Silverman, and Peter Katsidis. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More from the Green Space in a minute.